So I'm Anne McKim, on the Greater Ketchikan Board of Directors. Several of our members and Chelsea are down in Prince Rupert at the Southeast Conference. And so I get to fill in today, so please be patient with me. So I want us just to go ahead and get started, and I'll kind of lay out the format. We're going to give all of the candidates 1 minute to give an introduction. Then we are going to ask various questions, and we'll give 30 seconds for a response. And then at the end, then we'll give you another minute for closing statements. Because of the amount of candidates we are missing three today. We are going to be strict in our timing, and I have Miss Jackie Meck over here with her signs. So when she holds up done, say thank you and sit down. So, and as much as possible, if you can be near a microphone to answer, that would be very helpful. And then I'm going to ask a few questions, and then I'd like to open it up to you as the audience. If you have questions for our candidates, if you don't want to speak something out loud and you want to write something down, please feel free to write it on a piece of paper, and you can get that to me during this process. Okay, so as we begin, what we'll do is we'll start on this end for the first questions go down, and then the next set of questions, then we'll start with Mr. Bradford, and so that each of you will have an opportunity to start the questions, and we'll come around. So, okay? All right. So we're going to start on this end. If you would give us a one-minute introduction of who you are and why you're running for Borough Assembly.
My name is Scott, or Shane Davis. I came up here 35 years ago to Ketchikan to visit. Shortly thereafter, I got married to the love of my life and childhood sweetheart. It's about 33 years now. We have one daughter, 2.5 grandchildren. And I worked for public safety for a period of 25 years. In that time, I also worked for the borough 7 or 8 years and retired in 2012. And I've been retired ever since with a little venture in a small business here in Ketchikan.
I'm Stephen Bradford, and I've only lived here for about 7 years. And when I first arrived, someone told me that I would either love it here or hate it and not stay. Well, I do love it, and I want to be here. I was previously a municipal attorney in both Missouri and here in Ketchikan before opening my own law office. So I understand how local government should work. I've also been on the local school board for about 4 years, and it has taught me a lot about governing, to be efficient, to prepare adequately, and to listen to the citizens about their desires and hopes for our school district. I married a local girl who's at the table in the back, Kim Simpson. All told, we have 7 children, 4 of whom will eventually graduate from K-High. Kim's parents, Lyle and Olga Simpson, started Timber and Marine and ran it for decades before selling it to their employees. So through my wife, I have extended family with very deep roots that go back generations in Southeast Alaska. I want to be on the Borough Assembly to participate in the process of making sure that our future generations love it here and want to be here. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Trevor Shaw. First of all, thank you to the Chamber of Commerce for having us. We're glad to be here. I've lived in Ketchikan since I was about 6 years old. I would have loved to moved here 35 years ago, but I wasn't old enough then, wasn't born yet. So, but I've lived here for all of my life since then. I've served on the school board for the last 2 years. I was elected as a high school senior at 18. Public service is a deep passion of mine, one that I take very seriously, one that I enjoy. I've been going to Borough Assembly meetings since I was about 15 years old. Some people would say I was crazy. And so, but it's something that I enjoy, and for the last 2 years I've served as the co-chair of the Assembly School Board Liaison Committee. So I've really had a chance to dig into the issues that are facing not only our borough and our school district, but also the state. And my only agenda that I have and why I'm running for the Borough Assembly is because I want to weather the fiscal storm that our state is facing, and I want to make sure that we have a strong, bright future after we weather the storm. For me, this election isn't about the next 3 years. It's about the next 5, the next 10, the next 20, making sure that we have goals for where we want to see ourselves in the future and continuing to have an attractive, sustainable community for future generations. This is where I want to make my home. This is where I And this is what I enjoy doing. I'm currently going to college at UAS, and I thank you for your time.
Hi, my name is Susan Pickrell, and I'm running for the Borough Assembly because I've lived here in Ketchikan all my life. I plan on staying here in Ketchikan all my life, and I have a vested interest. My husband Randy and I have paid property and sales taxes for more than 38 years. So
can you get closer to the microphone?
Oh, sure. So we've paid our fair share here in Ketchikan. I have three children, two of whom live here in Ketchikan, and I have six grandchildren in Ketchikan School. I want to see a bright future for my grandchildren, and I would like them to stay here. I have a son that lives out of state, and I'd like him to be able to have the opportunity to come here to Ketchikan. I think if we don't broaden, the prospects for businesses to come here, to keep local businesses here so that we can have opportunities for our young people and for young families that want to come here and raise their children here. That's really what my interest is to have a part in that. So I want to thank you so much for your attention today, and I look forward to your questions.
Good afternoon. I'm Felix Wong, born in Kentucky, raised in Singapore, and with my previous employment, I've had the chance to visit numerous other nations, so unlike most of you guys here and people of the candidacy, I have a very short history here. But with that, I bring to the table knowledge and experience of what life is like in other countries and how I can help the city of Ketchikan. Speaking of perspectives, I'm a photographer as well. I love art, and I'm running a small business for that. So business is also a concern of mine. Finally, I'm an electrician at the shipyard. I love working there, and I love meeting the beautiful and wonderful young people who come to work at the shipyard, especially those who are fresh out of high school and have lots of hopes and dreams. That's one of my primary concerns as well, which is to see a brighter future ahead. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Kim Hodney. And first, I want to give a quick shout-out, it'll happen many times, to Assemblyman Van Horn and Phelps for the service. And without their time in and term limits, we wouldn't have this opportunity up here today. So they did a great job for the borough in their time. I've been in Ketchikan since January of 2005. I came up to the shipyard, Alaska Ship Dry Dock, as their safety director. Married 20 years to the love of my life. Lori is my wife. Together we have a blended family. We started out blended with seven children. 5 years later, they talked me into having one more at the age of 42. My daughter Jade, she sits here today. And our oldest daughter, Allison, is here as well. And after that, eight children. Then we adopted two more. My wife and I have been heavily invested in the foster care program here in Ketchikan. I think we had 9 or 10 foster kids. And at the very end, we ended up adopting the last one. She came to us when she was a week old. So my concern today is family and jobs, private sector jobs.
Can you turn your microphone? Okay. All right, well, we'll just get right into the questions, and we'll start on this end. And you can answer.
How long are you going to get them?
30 seconds. So every time I ask your question, she'll start the timer. Okay. So if elected, what will your strategy be for dealing with the local consequences of the state's looming budget deficits?
State's looming budget deficits. To be perfectly honest, I don't know. Because I haven't researched the material. I haven't taken a look at finance. I've not taken a look at how the borough sits to it. It's pretty clear that, you know, everybody wants a balanced budget, especially within the borough, and they don't want to be spending money they don't have.
Well, there's going to be some tough decisions ahead, and we may not be able to do all that we want, but we must do all that we should. It'll require careful deliberation, thoughtful discussions, and the willingness to listen to everyone as we decide how to allocate our limited resources and services at a time when our money from the state is shrinking. But I also believe strongly that if we do not have a vibrant and growing local economy, and if our local government doesn't provide the type of services that create a community where people want to live, then those decisions about allocations are going to be even more difficult than they otherwise would be.
30 seconds. Woo, here we go. So $3.5 billion is a big deficit, and Stephen and I, and specifically we, I think about the school district budget and how that affects us, and then the trickle-down effect from the state to the local governments, and unfortunately the local governments are going to have to bear some of those burdens. Not that they should, but unfortunately that's how it'll happen. In my time on the school board, I've pushed for responsible, efficient, sustainable government. I intend to continue doing so on the assembly.
So I thought long and hard about this and wanted to come up with a magic answer, and there is no magic answer. Fortunately, this is going to be a very tough year for budgets at the statewide level and at the local level. And so, you know, my fallback answer, which is I think for all of you would be the same, and that is you find out how much money you have. Can we make any savings? Are there any places that we can cut? And then what is the, you know, what is the wishes of the community? What are the priorities for our community? I think people will feel comfortable in coming to me with those concerns. And I have experience in working with budgets and in the governmental process for bodies working together to make sure that we can cover all of our needs. Thank you.
That is a tough question. As with personal finance, I think now is the time for us all to sit down and reprioritize. Besides budget cuts, we should look into creative ways to manage the budget, maybe get some private enterprises along as well to help shoulder the burden a little bit. And that's all I have for now regarding this issue. Thank you.
Well, the state managed to kick the can down the road again this year and pretty much do nothing and just prolong the agony. It's going to be tough for the borough to know exactly what they're going to do until they get their budget together again next year. One profound thing that will happen at the Supreme Court hearing tomorrow will deal with the local contribution funding for the school districts. That can have a major impact on where we go and how our budget is going to be set. So it's what I believe we need to do today. Hold the line, wait, don't kick it down the road, and get ready to inspire the private sector. We're not going to grow through the government. We're going to grow through the private sector and broaden our tax base, not increase the tax.
Thank you. Okay. Mr. Bradford, is the Ketchikan Gateway Borough School District adequately funded by the borough?
Well, we're close. And that'll surprise some people that I feel that way. We do not provide the same level of local contribution that our peer communities do. For example, Juneau funds at 102% of the cap, or the maximum allowed by law. We're not even close to that level. But I don't favor a big influx of funding into our schools. You know, for this past year, I think just an additional $300,000 to $400,000 would have allowed us to really enhance the quality of education that we provide our kids. And that's only 1% of our total budget.
Thank you.
I would agree that education funding is, with the current state of the state budget, and here locally, I think education funding is close to where it should be. Like Stephen said, that additional $300,000 to $400,000 would be nice, but we can maintain the quality of schools that we're providing now with the amount of funds that we're receiving from both the borough and the state. And so I think what would be important is that additional revenue surplus that the borough have, I think it's important to allocate a percentage of that towards the school reserve funds for any unforeseen emergencies.
So currently right now we are spending $17,699 per student, and it spends about $1,200 less than we do, and I think Fairbanks spends about the same less than we do. We all want to have as much funding as we possibly can for our schools, and for we want our students to do well. I really think we're going to have to hold the line until we know what the state funding will be. But I absolutely am committed to providing the very best education for our students that we can.
My approach to education, this is more of an investment for the future. So the more we can do for them and the children, the better. According to DEED, we are just at about 70% of the cap. I mean, I'm all for developing schools and education as much as we can and as much as it is possible, reasonably possible. Thank you.
I believe that today we are adequately funded to the degree that the education is good. We have students, we're staffed, things are going along. And there again, to hold the line, there's a gorilla in the room that nobody wants to talk about, and that's the Cadillac tax. It's going to hit the school district and the borough very hard for the health insurance. And if that tax, that Cadillac tax, if that comes into play and we have to cough up that money, no, we're not budgeted to the cap. I like the idea of having that buffer room. When things were in the 70s, we were flush with money. We're not there today. We need to have a buffer. We need to hold the line and see what's going to go on with the Supreme Court and the Cadillac tax.
Thank you.
Are we funded schools? Are the schools funded appropriately? I don't know. That's up to you. But what I think is really not important, but I've heard time and time again at assembly meetings over a period of about 8 years of overwhelming testimony saying that fund to the cap, fund to the cap. Do you want more? That's up to you. Are you willing to pay for it? Then I'll support anything voters want to pay for, including the schools. And the school issue itself and the budget time, funding to the cap, it's a slam dunk for me. Overwhelmingly, not one person voted no to funding to the cap or wanted, didn't want to fund to the cap.
Next question. What do you see as the role of the nonprofits in the successful future of Ketchikan?
I think the nonprofits play a huge role in Ketchikan as a whole. And funding those, it's going to be hard. The Borough Economic Development Fund, it's drying out, so we've got to look at new dynamic, innovative ways to continue funding those nonprofits if that's what we intend to do. It's a hard question to answer, and it's not one that can be done in 30 seconds. But I think the Economic Development Fund is something that's worth maintaining.
So the Foraker Group did a survey, did a study on how many nonprofits there are and how many jobs are provided by those nonprofits in Alaska. It's over 39,500. I think the exciting thing for me this year was in seeing the Southeast Senior Services that were partnering with the borough to provide rides to and from the airport. Probably need to fund them at a higher level, but I think those kinds of partnerships can help to with the nonprofits, and I support nonprofits. I think they provide a much needed service for our community, and in terms of bang for the buck, I think they provide an awful lot, and also they add to the quality of life for Ketchikan.
For myself, when I was growing up in Singapore, I grew up in a single parent family, and it is with much thanks to these nonprofit organizations over there that I managed to go through school and have my needs met. So it's with that spirit that I fully support the idea of nonprofits being more involved in Ketchikan. If I can do anything to help, I'm all for it. Thank you.
The nonprofits play a significant role to our community for its culture and for its well-being, from the arts all the way to health. The Wellness Coalition, WISH, they're very important organizations in this community. But the reality check, is we need to work with them, and they need to work together as they do to come up with alternatives. How can we keep them vibrant as the money dries up, as the Economic Development Fund slows down and goes away? How do we plan to get them on their feet and to continue the growth and to maintain them as we need to, but the money may not always isn't going to be there. As things dry up, we need to work together because they are so important to the thread, to the fabric of the community. They have to maintain.
Thank you.
Nonprofits are a pretty big deal to me. You know, I organized one for a South Tongass fire, and if a nonprofit comes to me and wants my support for their project, then I'm going to want to know what they're doing for themselves. What's their end? They're going to do a garage sale? They're going to do a car wash? What? So I guess that's what my take is on nonprofits and funding.
I think local government should do everything it can to support the nonprofits. Some of them you cannot necessarily justify on a dollar-for-dollar basis, but they make sense because they add to the quality of life here. They make this a place where we want to live, especially during those winter months. And there are other nonprofits that provide services, social services, that you can justify financially, because there are numerous studies that show that a dollar spent now on social services will save multiple dollars in the future. And I think that's important for local government to keep in mind.
Can I start with you?
Yeah.
Okay. So the next question. How do you believe our community should deal with marijuana now that it is legal in the state of Alaska?
Well, I think it's a complicated issue. I've served here in Ketchikan as a police officer for more than 10 years. And when you say that it's legal, it doesn't necessarily mean it's legal everywhere. You can't just go out in public and smoke a cigarette, marijuana cigarette. I think we should wait until the Marijuana Regulation Board, the same as the Alaska Beverage and Control Board, controls what happens in bars and liquor stores. We need to wait for that regulation to see how that's going to affect the borough and what kind of regulations we need to comply with before we set up shops or grow operations or determine how we're going to be allowing people to use marijuana in our town.
Thank you.
About marijuana, I think it is important that we also keep in mind the importance of a supportive infrastructure for people who want to get off its use. Because even though it is legal, it is not your right, especially if it's in a workplace that bans substance use. So I believe that there are people who are willing to get off it, and we should support them so that they can keep their jobs and earn money. Thank you.
The voter spoke, and Pandora's box was opened. Now we need to deal with it. Not like the craziness that's gone on with those down south. We need to hold on, wait for the state to come together with what they will, because their rules, their laws will dictate very much as to how it goes about in our borough. If any of you have ever looked at how that did pass out north, it was 48%. Out south, it was 52% passed. And in city, I think it was 57%. So there was, with the exception out north, a majority of the voted for it. Now we have to
do
it right.
Quite suddenly, the voters spoke, and my take on it is to take advantage of an already existing market base in Ketchikan. That's it.
I agree with Sheen. The voters spoke, both locally and statewide. And when all those people were voting yes, I think they were expressing their desire to allow reasonable consumption of cannabis. And I don't think a single voter went into that booth and, as they voted yes, said, I'm voting yes, but I sure hope the Marijuana Control Board puts up as many roadblocks and impediments as they can possibly think of. I think it's time for our regulators to simply acknowledge the will of the people and come up with reasonable rules and regulations that will protect our communities. And then let's turn it into a benefit, tax it reasonably, so that we can replace some of the state funding that we're losing.
I don't know how many times this line can be said, but yes, the voters did speak. Now we have to deal with it. The Marijuana Control Board will roll out its regulations, and then the borough, the city, will roll out theirs soon thereafter. I don't think we should do anything about marijuana right now until we know what the state's going to do, but then I do think that we should tax it reasonably, and those funds should be used for things that benefit our community, the Economic Development Fund, rehabilitation, and also education. So it's a more complex issue than that, but we're definitely going to have to regulate it to make sure it affects our community.
How do you propose to heal the rift between the city people and the borough people?
I'm a young guy, so I will treat them with respect, as I do with most of you guys. Honestly, we are here on an island. We're here. We are in this together. So I'll do my best to listen and appreciate their point of view. And if there's something that I can offer, I will make a stand for the people in the borough and in the city. Because, after all, the borough assembly serves both the borough and the city.
Thank you.
I found this question interesting when I first read it, because it implies, it assumes, what are you going to do to improve the relationships? Who knew? There's a problem between the city and the borough? I suppose, much like two, vying high schools, there's rivalry, but we're all in this together. I don't think that there's the problems that this question implied. to improve. You know, it starts out like, oh my gosh, there's something wrong between the city and the borough. Yeah, I'm sure there are some problems. I don't know what those exact issues are. Difficult to address them in that respect. Maybe I'll send the city council a box of candy for every meeting. I don't know. You know, it'll be interesting to see just what the problems may or may not be.
Thank you.
Nothing insurmountable.
Well, whoever came up with the question, it's a good one. I'm aware of the RIF. However, I'm coming into this fresh. I don't have any, you know, prejudice. I'm not angry with anybody on the city or the borough for that matter. So, you know, going into this fresh new, there are two new candidates, I think could be a good thing. Am I excited about being on the Interrelation Committee? No, but I would if I have to.
I'll focus my answer on the relations between the two bodies, the Borough Assembly and the City Council. You know, I've been on the school board for 4 years, and I know that there are times when other people will have an opinion different from my own. And there have been times when I've had to deal with people who treat me with disdain, roll their eyes, and are hard to get along with just because we have different opinions. I found that the best elected official is the one that can listen and is willing to at least give consideration to what you have to say, even though they ultimately may vote in a different manner. So I think it's important to try and communicate. We all live here on this island together. We've got to be able to disagree in a meeting, but still get along when we bump into each other at the store at the monthly grind.
Thank you.
So I think that improving the relationship between the city and the borough is very important because we, like everyone said, we're in this together. We've got to make it through this together, and we want to make sure that we have the best community, future for our community possible. And so I've served on the Assembly School Board Liaison Committee. I know how important it is for two bodies to work together, do it in a respectful manner, and come to a conclusion, even if there is debate and disagreement along the way. And in the end, it's about doing what's right for the community and making sure that there are open lines of communication and that when it's all said and done, we can move forward together in a cooperative manner.
Well, I think we're well past the time when we can let personality conflict interfere in how we do business. There's only so much money to go around if we don't work together. My dad used to tell stories to get his message across, and I'll allude to that here. I think we're all in the same canoe. If we don't row together, we're going to sink together. And I guess I'd like to be the person at the front of the canoe yelling, row harder, row harder. Thank you.
Okay, one question handed to me. What is your opinion of the plan for a city of Ward Cove? Do we need another community? So start with Felix or Kim? Kim.
City of Ward Cove. It's an interesting idea, concept, if you will. Many questions to be answered in going forward with it. Certainly not opposed to it. I'm not voting yes for it. I do live out north, so I assume that I will have a vote for that. I'd also hate to see the city annex out that direction like they do Shoreline with, you know, tax base and no services. It's an interesting idea.
Thank you.
Well, that's a tough one. Once again, I'm not either for or against it. It would depend on the voters for North Tongass and the Boundary Commission. I'm not even aware that it's back from the Boundary Commission yet. However, when it does, then a lot more information is going to be needed as far as taxation and what's going to be the hit to the overall borough for that. Thank you.
I do not live out north, so I won't have a say in this, so it doesn't really impact me personally. But I do question the need for yet another government official, another layer of bureaucracy. And I think that the services that the people in Ward Cove are wanting either are or could be provided by the borough or the service districts. So I have to view this question as, is it beneficial to the borough as a whole, since I'm running for the assembly? And I have some very strong reservations and concerns that no, the city of Ward Cove would not be beneficial or a good thing for the borough as a whole.
So I happen to know a lot about the proposed city of Ward Cove. I am currently the petitioner's representative for the petition to incorporate Ward Cove. However, like Stephen said, this is about the borough as a whole. People who, citizens who live in the city of Ketchikan and South Tongass won't be able to decide whether or not to incorporate. And so I think what needs to happen with the city of Ward Cove is make sure people are well informed about our honest intentions to ensure that services provided in Ward Cove are done in a way that's beneficial to the residents of the North Tongass service area. So I would abstain from any discussions and voting in regard to the city of Ward Cove, but I think it's something that is still also very early in the process.
Thank you.
Well, I have to confess that I don't know an awful lot about creating another city within our, on our island. I guess what I would say is it's all about timing. I don't know that right now with the state deficits that we're looking at and the certain budget considerations that now is the right time to do this. But I would really like to see what it's going to cost, what it will mean to all of us here because we're all in one community and would absolutely like more information.
As mentioned by Sheen Davis, I think I'll leave it up to the Boundary Commission to decide first and foremost. Secondly, this is like an exact opposite of the idea of consolidating governments. I mean, now is the time to, like I mentioned, creatively work our budget, and if we can save money by not adding more people into the mix, paying them and paying a redundant layer of bureaucracy, I think that makes its own point. Thank you.
So down here, so on that note, do you support consolidation? Why or why not?
I do support consolidation. I do not support consolidation because the voters voted on this quite recently and it failed as a vote. So without any new information, I don't support consolidation.
Well, Sheen is right. The last time the voters spoke, they did speak no. But as I mentioned earlier, it makes no sense to me that we live in a community of this size and have a borough manager and a city manager, two clerks, two legal departments, two finance directors, and so forth. And now we might add another level of bureaucracy at the city of Ward Cove. But if we're going to look at consolidation, I think both governments have to give it proper consideration. Has to be an open discussion of the pros and cons so that people can make a decision based on facts rather than mistrust.
Thank you.
And unfounded promises.
I support the concept of consolidation. However, the implementation thereof has not been proven to me to be done in a trustful manner. As Sheen said, the vote to consolidate has failed not only the last time, but the last five times. And so I think at this point in time, and as Councilmember Sievertson said, when he was asked this question of consolidating the two governments and services and everything would cost us more than it would save us right now. And so I think during a time of billions and deficits that we should instead focus on improving the relationship between the city and the borough and working on efficiencies and then go from there.
So I'm not in favor of consolidation. I think we would need much more information related to the tax cap. How much is it actually going to cost residents, and particularly borough residents? What kind of services would be paying for? And I just think there's too many questions out there unanswered. I'm not in favor.
So based on what I've heard, one time the city tried to propose that and people in the borough were suspicious of it. Then the borough tried it and people in the city were suspicious of it. So I think we need to keep this discussion open and then let the people decide and come up with a petition for it and then go from there. Thank you.
Again, like they've all said, it's been on the ballot. It's been in front of the people. Five or six times I voted no on it myself also. I'm not interested in inheriting in the borough the city's fiscal responsibilities that they've put themselves out on the limb. Things, it's just not time, and it's not on the ballot. It's kind of an irrelevant question to the simple fact that we have very, very important fiscal things in front of us. To cloud it up with more conversation about consolidation isn't the time. If it comes to us in an initiative and it becomes a point of discussion, we will.
Okay. One last question, and then we will give you each 1 minute. I have a question that's handed to me. Would you promote a state tax?
Well, I'm not running for the legislature. But no, at this point, I would not support a statewide tax. I think we need to deal with our problems, find other solutions before we impose any type of a statewide income tax or the like.
I agree. I do not support a statewide tax. I think, as it's been said, the state having kicked the can down the road, they seriously need to look at cuts, what they can do without, how they can move forward in a responsible and sustainable manner, and then really talk about what new revenue needs to look like. One of my favorite presidents said, "Read my lips, no new taxes." That's where I stand.
So I am not in favor of state taxes. The first answer that I gave with regard to how you're going to deal with the state deficit, I will give the same answer. The state legislators are going to have to figure out how much money we have. Can we make any cuts? Can we have it? Are there any savings that we can look at right now? And then what can we afford? And I think to implement a state tax before they've done their due diligence would not be responsible. Thank you.
Well, about that, my personal philosophy is it's up to me. So if needed and it's the last resort, I'll support the tax. But we have the opportunity to be more creative with our revenues, look beyond land use, try and capitalize on the tourist industry, maybe a possible burgeoning trade industry now that the ice caps are melting. And go from there. Thank you.
I can't say no loud enough. Absolutely not. There is no tax I've ever seen that I enjoy. Some are necessary, some are not. There's far too much talent in this state. There's far too much resource in this state. Private industry, we need to get government out of the way, get people back to work in the private sector. We don't need to grow it through the government before you tax anything. And I mean this on the local level as well as the state level. No tax, get out of our way, let our people get to work, drop some barriers so we can get to work, utilize the talent that we have and the resources that we have.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was an easy question. No, I wouldn't support a state tax. Unless an overwhelming vote from the borough supported a state tax, and then I would be more than obligated to.
So I forgot I wanted to open it up. If there's anybody in the audience that had a question that you wanted to ask any or all before we give them their 1 minute.
Of course.
And they're closing
that. If they haven't already.
And then their adoption. Maybe when you give your closing remarks, you can what your employment is. So no other questions. So we will start with Trevor and give you 1 minute to give your closing remarks.
Again, thank you all for coming today. Like I said, this is a very important election. It's not just about the next 3 years. It's about the future of not only our borough and our state. We've got a great community that we have here, and I want to ensure that future generations have the same opportunities that I had and continue to have, and this is where I want to build my family. And so my only goal is making sure that we, like I said, have an efficient, sustainable, responsible, transparent government at the borough level, that we ensure that there is a pro-business environment here, and that Ketchikan was once upon a time the southeast commerce hub, and that's what I want to see again. And I would appreciate your vote. I thank you for the honor of continuing to serve you, and again, thank you for being here. And also, I work as a member service specialist at Tongass Federal Credit Union.
So thank you very much for coming today, and thank you for this opportunity. I currently work at Ketchikan Indian Community and work with elders. And I have more than 30 years of public service in Ketchikan. I've served three times on the school board, served in KIC Tribal Council, and I've served on two statewide commissions and a variety of parent boards and local organizations here in Ketchikan. My life is here. My family is here. I have a long time history of working with people in Ketchikan, and I think I bring that to the Borough Assembly. I think people would feel comfortable in coming to me with their concerns, and I think I can fairly represent those concerns at the Borough Assembly. Just want to thank you so much for today. Please get out October 6th, and I would appreciate your vote. Thank you.
So, once again, I work with the shipyard. Ever since I got here, I've been working full steam ahead at the shipyard, and only this year I decided to put more time outside of work, be more involved and engaged in the community, because I love it here. I have a plot of land which I own and I intend to develop. I'm well vested in Ketchikan. Just yesterday, Vigor was awarded by the Southeast Conference Business of the Year, and this is something I look forward to being awarded to more businesses here in Ketchikan as we continue to grow. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity this afternoon. Mr. Kim, you did a wonderful job as stand-in. Thank you. It's important that we get people to work and we utilize the resources. I have skin in the game. I'm a homeowner. I have children, and I have grandchildren in the school district. School and education is important to me. Jobs and their future. It's family, jobs, future. That is my key. That is what I'm pushing for. The health of the family, the stability and sustaining and growth of the private industry of jobs, not government jobs, and the grant money, the free money is drying up. It's not there any longer. So we got to figure it out ourselves. We have to get out of the way and get people to work. It's what it's all about. I truly appreciate your vote on October 6th. I'm here for the duration. This is where I retire. This is where my family is. And I have to help build that future for my youngins that can't vote yet. So see you on October 6th. Oh, and I work for Full Cycle, which is a startup development company. We're cleaning up all of the old drum farms and all of the nasty waste that's laying all around Southeast. We're just getting that vote going ground up at Sitka, and we got all of the fuels and things of that nature. So it's environmentally correct in a private sector business kind of a way. So we're making money on what needs to be done.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us here today. I really do appreciate the lunch and, you know, everybody putting on their finest. Great. Anyway, what I bring to the table is 7 or 8 years of working as a borough department head. I understand agendas. I understand what it takes to get them there. I understand ordinances. I've written many. I also know what Groundhog Day is. If you want to see me after the meeting, I'll tell you all about it. I understand the borough workings. I know where some skeletons are. I'm looking forward as an assembly member. I'm not looking backwards. People ask me, well, how do you feel about this and this and this? And, well, it really doesn't matter because that's already been asked and decided. I'm looking forward. Lots of changes, maybe. I don't know, but whatever comes along, I do my homework well. I research well. While I don't know the answer, and coming right out of the gate today, I don't know. That's okay, but I know where to get the answer.
Thank you.
I don't. I'm retired.
You know, I think that the next few years could determine what kind of a community we leave to our children. On the one hand, we've got the expansion at the Coast Guard base, we've got growth at the shipyard and the hospital, and these nearby mining ventures could bring additional jobs to Ketchikan. But on the other hand, we've got the financial problems at the state level, which will have a negative impact on us. Local government creates a climate for economic growth and stability only when it acts wisely in allocating assets and resources. If it does not act prudently, it then becomes a roadblock with higher taxes, regulations, and bureaucracy. I have no hidden agenda or special interests. I want to represent all the citizens of this great borough, both inside the city and out. And I want to help make wise and prudent decisions about the services we provide, the quality of the education we offer our children, and what we can do to make a better way of life for all of us here in Ketchikan. I ask for your vote.
Thank you.
I already said that. I'm self-employed. I have a law office here in town.
Okay. So I think we've got everything covered. Thank you so much for coming out, and thank you, candidates, for...